Amen. I'm referring back to our scripture, which is in Luke chapter 14. And at verse 28, Jesus is telling us to plan carefully and try not to start something you can't finish. Now, if Jesus is telling us that we should do that, it is my strong belief that God has made plans that He intends to finish. God has made plans in which He intends to finish. Or, you know, He doesn't say, do as I say and not as I do. But if He says we should plan carefully and make the right decision to, if we're going to build something. In other words, you're going to follow me, but think about it real carefully, because there's a lot of things involved in following Jesus Christ. The title of my sermon today is, Oh God, What Are You Doing? Now, I want you to think about that as we pray at this time. Father, how many times have you done something or allowed things to happen, and we've been puzzled by it and just wonder, what are you doing? Oh Lord, I understand what you're doing in a general sense of the way. I understand that you're developing our characters and preparing us for your soon coming, so that we will have your likeness when you come. So to that desire, to that end, I commend this message to you and to the hearers here. In Jesus' name, amen. If we go back into the book of Genesis, the story of Abraham, we'll start with Abraham. I could have started with Adam and Eve. I could have started with Noah. But I'll start with Abraham. And Abraham was told to get out of his country. Just pack up and leave. Go. Wherever I tell you to go, you go. But you're not to live here anymore. I want you to get up. I got a country for you. And it's a country without foundations, and whose builder and maker is God. But I'll send you over in the general direction of Canaan. I don't know what exactly. The Bible tells us he just told him to get up and go, and he was going to give him a promised land. So, yes, Canaan was sort of a type or a shadow of the promised land that he would receive when all of Abraham's children would be assembled at the end of time in the new heaven and in the new earth. All the things that are written in the Old Testament and in the Bible, a lot of times are types and shadows and point us to the day that's coming when Jesus shall come and receive us unto himself. But there he goes. He takes his old dad with him and his nephew Lot, and they just uproot and go. And That takes faith. That takes belief. And I would imagine there would be those around about him wondering, God, what are you doing? But Abraham accepted it and went on. And the years went by, and Abraham and Sarah got older. Sarai, Abram and Sarai, that's what they were called before the names were changed. And God made Abraham a promise. He said, I'm going to give you a son, and you will be a father of many nations. And look up into the heaven and look at those stars, and they're innumerable, and you'll be as innumerable as the sand in the sea, and I'm going to bless you like that. And Abraham was an old man. He's in his 70s or something like that when he started out, and took 50 years for that promise to come to pass. Can you imagine being promised something 50 years before you got it? You'd say, you didn't keep your promise. Well, Sarah and Abraham began to wonder if the Lord might need a little help and hand with his promise. And you know, when we get involved and try to help God along and think we can kind of assist him in fulfilling what he said he would do himself without our help, trouble may ensue. And trouble came in the form of Hagar and Ishmael. And if Abram and Sarai had just been a little bit more patient, and think of all the trouble that might have been avoided, there wouldn't have been any 9/11. Think of it. There wouldn't have been none of that 9/11 nonsense, because there'd have been no Ishmael. Seriously. And I'm not against things come to pass, because that is just the way it is. Somebody found out that the throat of a whale is only that big. And a person asked him, well, why is that? And he said, because that's the way it is and there's nothing you can do about it. You know? And there's just some things that you can't do anything about. You do something and there's consequences for what you do, and God said, okay, I'll make Ishmael a great nation, but it's trouble. See, Abraham and Sarai kind of thought to themselves, God, what are you doing? Well, sometimes we learn our lessons the hard way. Abraham had a lot of lessons to learn, but he took his medicine and he became the father of the faithful. People, thousands of years later, are still comparing themselves to Abraham and looking up to Abraham and all the conflicts of all God's children, whether they be Jew, whether they be Gentile, whether they be Arab, or whatever they are. They are all looking back to Abraham as their father. And when Jesus was disputing with the Pharisees, well, we have Abraham to our father. In other words, you're just a son of who knows what. We don't know who your father is. And Jesus said, well, if you were Abraham's children, you would love me. You would do Abraham's deeds. And he talked about things like that. And they said, well, you're not even 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? He says, before Abraham was, I am. And that must have made them fall over and sit down. They said, well, basically the Pharisees were saying, do you know what you're doing? What are you doing? But Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we are children of Abraham. We are grafted into his vine. We are part of his plan. We are his peculiar people, his kingdom of kings and priests. We are something, and he has deemed it so and willed it so. He paid for us with his own blood. When Jesus proceeded to begin to tell the disciples, after doing all those wonderful miracles and healings and all the things that they just were astounded at what he could do, walk on water, calm the sea, people tried to catch him and lynch him and stone him, and he could just walk through a crowd and they just wouldn't be able to see him. They couldn't touch him. And so the disciples had this feeling that he was a superman. Well, he was a superman. He was Superman. He really was. He could do anything. And he often did. And he amazed them, but they thought he couldn't be touched. And then he began to say, well, you know, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. He was very plain in his speech, and they still didn't understand. He says, and I'm going to be betrayed to the elders of the Israel and to the Romans, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be put in the grave and lay there for 3 days and 3 nights, and then I'm going to be raised up from the dead. And then, well, that was too much for them to comprehend, and they shook their heads and they scratched them and they looked at one another and said, they thought, my God, what are you doing? Even Peter grabbed Jesus by the lapels and said, no, 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 this shall not be. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. And a few minutes before he had said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," because he had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit had revealed that to him. And now it's, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now wouldn't that be confusing to you? And wouldn't you think, "Lord, what are you doing?" And getting up and being crucified and mocked and scourged. What earthly good would it be for the Messiah, the one that was supposed to conquer the Romans, to die a horrible, humiliating death on the cross? What kind of a mess, what kind of an idiotic plan is this? And remember, Jesus said, if you're going to build something, you got to make a plan and you got to be able to carry it through. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. They were made for Him and by Him. Because God has a plan. He began to build. And He's today building our characters and preparing us for heaven. And if He is able to frame worlds and do miracles and all the things that He does, don't you think He has the ability to get us ready for heaven so that when He comes, we will be His special people? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we know the worlds were framed. By faith Jacob was, when he was a dying, he leaned upon his staff and he walked and he realized the promise. He wrestled with an angel. He made all kinds of mistakes. Many times Jacob prayed. He says, "Lord, what are you doing? My brother was going to kill me. I need help. Except you bless me, I will not let you go." Literally, "Oh God, what are you doing? You know, you promised me all these things, and I've done some really strange things and terrible things and crooked things, and now they're coming home to roost, and my brother's going to come and get me, and I got all these children and all this stuff." And you think he would have learned his lesson along the line, how God had... And even, you know, when Joseph disappeared, can you imagine the anguish in Jacob's heart? He thought his son was dead, and the boys knew better, but they were too lily-livered to tell their father and own up to what they had done. So for all those years, Jacob was in the dark as to where Joseph was. But Joseph told him, "I've been given a dream. I've been given a vision of the future, and y'all going to bow down to me." And Jacob got mad at Joseph at that particular time, and "Shall your mother and I also bow down to you?" Do you remember that? He even ticked off his father a little bit. But there it goes. And Joseph, his trials. Think of all the different stories where each one of these people were put in these terrible trials, and how Joseph spent the rest of his teenage years and his youth in prison. And yet he had a dream and he knew God was going to do something and he waited. That's faith. Isaac was the product of faith. And getting back to Abraham, I'm going all over the place, but there's so many stories here. Abraham had to take that son that was promised to him, took 50 years to get, raised him to young manhood, and then had to take him out to the mountain and sacrifice him. Oh God, what are you doing? How are you going to do? You see... How are you going to give me all these promises if you take my son away from me? But then, after much prayer, he realized that even God could raise him from the dead if he had to. And so he went ahead and he was just about ready to strike that boy when the angel stayed his hand. See, Abraham learned faith. And faith, Abraham is father of the faithful. And what is faith? Is faith just believing? Let me tell you a story about believing in faith, and you probably heard it before. There was a great tightrope walker by the name of Blondin. And if you've heard it, don't tell everybody else. I've heard it before. But Mr. Blondin used to do great feats and go across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And one day he had a big crowd around him in a wheelbarrow. And he says, I'm going to go across that tightrope on a pushing that wheelbarrow there. And how many of you believes that I could put a man in that wheelbarrow and I could take him across? And everybody was quiet. But there was one man that says, I think you can do it, Mr. Blondin. He said, all right, you get in the wheelbarrow. Now that's faith. It's one thing to believe something. It's another thing to put yourself in the middle of it and do it. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe He died and was buried and rose again, and that His blood cleanses from sin, and that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, and you better get right with God, because if you don't get right with God, you're going to be lost, and when He comes, He's going to burn up the whole world and take those that are ready with Him? Do you believe it? Well, then you got to do something about it. That is the whole idea behind the stories of Abraham. Noah told him to build an ark to the saving of his household. It's preached for 120 years to folks, and some might have half believed him, but none of them got in the ark, did they? And only 8 souls were saved. Is the majority right? Are always right? Is democracy always the right way to do things? No, we have a kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. And so anybody that fights, takes up a sword, tortures and kills and says they're trying to win souls for their church. What kind of church is that? It's not Christian. One time one of the crusaders went back during that time, they went and was conquering different cities in Asia Minor, and the Sultan of Turkey said to one of the, I think it was either Richard the Lionhearted or one of them, he says, Jesus was a very non-violent person. How come you folks are doing this kind of stuff? And I believe the king replied to them, I must tell you as delicately as possible that I am not he. See, they said they were there in the name of Christ, but they were not doing Christ's deeds. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to what Jesus Christ and who He is. He is the seed, the promised seed to Adam and Eve. That was the one that was to come, and he was to be through whom all the nations of the world should be blessed. Abraham was told that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. And when that seed, that promised seed that each one, Noah looked forward to, Adam looked forward to, that promised seed was Jesus Christ. And through Him all nations of the world are blessed. We are a blessed people. We know Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. We have a message to proclaim. And it is something that we have begun to build, and we will see it to the end, because Jesus, He said, I want you to consider before you begin to build whether you can complete the project. What do you think? Do you think you can complete the project? Do you think you can make it? Revelation said, to he that overcometh. Well, what's overcoming? You have to do something. Faith produces works. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And faith is, it just needs to be practiced. You know, Mr. Blondin didn't get that volunteer in his wheelbarrow because that person only believed, but he didn't put feet to his faith. He didn't get in the wheelbarrow. Are we going to get in the wheelbarrow today? Are we going to start or can allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us to perfection? That's our goal, isn't it? To become like Him. And only through His power and only through our putting our feet with our faith and putting our hands to our faith and believing and doing obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience, you know, that's the way we show our faith, that we're obedient to the Word. The Ten Commandments are wonderful, and oh, I can say I believe them. But doing them, I show my faith. We are the people of the commandments. We are the people of the remnant, the ones that have the faith of Jesus Christ and keep the commandments. Is that you? Or are you a hanger-on? You know, there's two kinds of people at the stadium, at the game. There's those that are in the game and there's those that are watching. Now, which are you? See, a lot of people, you know, there are churches that do a lot of cheering and make a lot of noise. But they're spectators. We are the ones that are fighting the enemy. We got to fight him tooth and nail to gain the prize. We got to be put on the full armor of God. And why do we put the full armor of God on? To use it. We don't just put it on and there I am decorated. I got all that faith and there I am. Here, look at that. I got this armor. I got shield of faith. I got sword of the Spirit. But if I stand there like a dummy, I might as well be in a museum. You know where they put all those knights' costumes all lined up in the museum? Beautiful armor, but useless if you don't get out there and use it. And we've got this. We've got this message. We've got the end time message. We've got the revelation in Daniel that we understand it. Not every church can say they understand Daniel and Revelation. A lot of them make an attempt at it and tell you this and tell you that. And they way out to lunch. They don't know. That 1844 thing. I like the idea that her shop is 1844 or whatever street in Barnwell. 1844. Great idea. We understand those timelines. We understand the stuff that we're teaching here in this. The teachers, if they don't understand what they're teaching, they better not teach. But we want you to hear the message. We want you to be able to build. We want you to trust God. Trust God. Trust God. What is faith? Trust. Faith is trust in God. Just simple trust in God. If God says it, we believe it. So let's be not only hearers of the Word, but let us be doers. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we appreciate the lessons that you have taught us in your Word, and we study them over and over and over again, and we sometimes wonder when trials and tests come, Lord, what are you doing? But we know that you are able to complete that which you have begun. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities or powers or things to come will be able to turn me away from the great promises that are in Christ, that you are going to see that come to pass that you have planned for us. You just need cooperation from us. Lord, I want to cooperate. I want to be a yielded vessel to you. I want you to use me. I want you to, and I pray this prayer on behalf of so many that are listening here this morning. Use us, use us, use us. Make us pliable and usable in your hand, that we might lead souls to you and lead each other to a higher walk in Christ. So, Father, we ask you to bless us now. Give us vision. Give us power over all power of the enemy, and help us to use that armor that you have equipped us with. In Jesus' name, amen.